Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today for our first lesson in February. It's about sleeping, so stay tuned. Well, it's time to wake up and not sleep, but we're going to talk about sleeping, and the name of our article today is Sleep Tight, and it is on page 10 in your Advanced magazine. So welcome, everyone. This is Doris Brohm, Peng Menghui, and as panelists today, we have some of our other editors from Studio Classroom with us. We have Linda Ledwig.
Hi, it's very nice to be here today.
Well, you know, we're talking about sleeping, but you should not be sleeping now during the program. You should be wake up.
That's right, everybody. Wake up and get out your magazine. We have a lot to share with you today.
And another one of our editors and teachers, we have Simon Stops. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Doris. It's always great to be here on Advanced Radio.
Are you wide awake now?
I'm working on it, yeah. I've had my cup of coffee, and I'm waiting for it to start working.
Well, we're going to find out about the two of you, plus all the people listening in, whether they really do sleep tight. And that's kind of a strange way to say sleeping tight. How can you sleep tight anyway?
Well, it doesn't mean wrap yourself up so tightly you can't move. It means to sleep well, actually.
Mm-hmm. Have a good sleep.
Right.
Get a good night's sleep. It says it isn't so easy. Well, I think it's kind of easy, but, you know, some people have a problem with it.
That's right. Our article today is going to tell us about all of the different problems that people do have with sleeping.
Well, and we are going to talk about Americans, but I think this is a worldwide problem, don't you?
Yes, I see this in a lot of different countries. So they've just done the survey in America, but really when you listen to it, you can think about yourself and your own sleep habits.
So we often say people, well, did you sleep well? And they'll say, well, not too well because or something. We'll find out what those becauses are. And we use the word over quite a bit at the beginning of this article. And over means too much, doesn't it?
Right. It's an easy way. You know, it's a prefix we put on words. Well, I don't know if it's a prefix. It's a compound word that we make to say too much of something.
Too much of something. Okay, overloaded, overworked, something over. We'll have a lot of overs coming up, won't we?
That's right. We have a whole list of over terms coming up soon.
So let's start the reading today. On page 10, we'll read line 1 through line 24.
Sleep tight. Getting a good night's sleep isn't so easy. Why are 70 million Americans having trouble getting a good night's sleep? Let us count the ways. We are over-caffeinated, coffee, soft drinks, energy drinks, snacks, and over-medicated, prescription and over-the-counter drugs, including alcohol, wreaking havoc with slumber patterns. We are overwired, video games, web browsing, social media, texting, and overstressed, money, work, relationships, overloaded schedules, making us too restless to doze off when we should.
I'm surprised that so many Americans are having trouble getting a good night's sleep. Are you?
Well, 70 million is quite a few.
That's quite a few.
It's almost a quarter of Americans not sleeping well at night.
Well, that's quite a few. Well, let's count the ways. What is the problem? That's what we're going to talk about, isn't it, today?
Yes, it is. And there are a variety of problems, actually a multitude of problems.
There are. So they're listed down here, but not numbered particularly. But it says that we are over-caffeinated. To be caffeinated means that you have too much caffeine. And you find caffeine in coffee and tea,
right,
don't you?
And tea and Coke, a lot of
energy drinks.
Right, energy drinks. Even some, well, it's so sad that there's caffeine in chocolate.
Is that right? Well, so that would be one of your snacks and so forth. Well, to be over-caffeinated then just means that you've had too much caffeine. Do you ever get over-caffeinated?
Well, It's so sad because the older you get, you know, I mean, like for myself, I used to be able to drink coffee, you know, all day and in the evening. I know you can, Doris, but.
And I'm older than you.
I know.
And I can drink it and go right to sleep.
I cannot. So if I have coffee after like 1 in the afternoon, I'm awake like at 2 going, okay, time to go to sleep.
I remember the first time I had a large cup of coffee. It was actually here working at Studio Classroom. And I drank the cup of coffee, and then I had shakes all afternoon. I was shaking from all of the caffeine in it. But that doesn't happen anymore.
Now you're used to it.
I'm over-caffeinated now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, a lot of people have these energy drinks. There's all kinds of those, too. And different things. Caffeine is not only in coffee.
No, it's in a lot of different drinks.
And they all say that a little caffeine is actually good for you. So it depends on your own body, your own system. And evidently my system can take it because I can drink a cup of coffee and then go right to sleep.
She can. It's unbelievable.
It's also true, though, that you hear people talking about how important timing is when having caffeine. I've heard people say that if they drink coffee or tea after lunch, they won't be able to sleep well at night, right?
Mm-hmm. Some even in the morning can't do it, but you know. But I can have one at 9 o'clock and still go to sleep at night.
Yes, I have to have decaffeinated.
Okay, but some people do have that problem. So, and it's not only caffeine, but there are other things like they're over-caffeinated means too much caffeine. But what's the second one they mention?
Well, it mentions over-medicated, which means people have too much medicine in their systems. They've taken too much medicine. And it lists there a number of different kinds of medicines that they take. The first one is prescription medicines. Those are medicines you get from the doctor. But it also says over-the-counter drugs.
There's another over slipped in there.
Yeah. And you have to be careful. You know, some actually, like cold medications, you really do have to know your own body.
That's
because
true.
There are some that I've taken in an hour or so after I take them, it's just like I'm shaking because of whatever is in it. And they're supposed to make you sleep. So you need to know yourself.
You can buy those without having the doctor give
right.
you a prescription.
It's over so the counter.
Over the counter. You just go into a drugstore and buy them without any permission or prescription.
That's right. I was just going to mention just what you said there.
Right.
Over the counter. It's different from having too much of something.
Right.
Yeah.
And even, of course, alcohol. Sometimes that makes people sleepy, but I guess it makes some people wake up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it say that they do when you're over caffeinated or too much of this? What happens?
Well, it says it wreaks havoc with slumber patterns, which means it causes a lot of confusion and problems for the ways people sleep.
And slumber here just means sleep. So right. Your slumber means your sleep. It's a noun.
Right. And when something's havoc, it means that it's just a lot of confusion. Things are a big mess. You know, it could happen after a bad storm. It could happen any time. But this is happens within your body. You just can't, I just can't sleep. I'm just wide awake, right?
And we'll see that this is an idiom. So the havoc is the confusion. And the verb we usually use with it is to wreak havoc.
Right.
So storms, you know, typhoons, snowstorms, things like that often wreak havoc in a community.
So the first one is talking about that type of thing. But then it also says that we're overwired. That's kind of an interesting term because, you know, we do have things like video games, web browsers, all these kind of things on our iPhones, iPads, whatever we use. So we're overwired. How can we be overwired?
Well, it's interesting because we often use that word wired to describe how connected something is. If you are wired, it means you're connected to things like the internet, maybe through your phone or through your tablet or your computer, different things like that. And so being overwired means you're too connected to the things that are going on.
So you have to check your Facebook too many times before you go to sleep, and then you can't sleep, right?
That's right. And sometimes people use their cell phones for their alarm clock as well. So it's accessible to them all night long if something happens. You know, if you get an incoming anything, you know, it beeps and
that. I get them at night. I can answer them and go right back to sleep.
But a lot of people can't.
Well, and then you can also be overstressed. That's another over. To be stressed is bad enough. But to be overstressed, you're stressed out. You're overstressed. Yali taituona.
Mm-hmm.
What causes that?
Well, money problems, work, relationships. Overloaded, there's another over there we have again. It means overloaded means too much. And overloaded schedules means you're just too busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, these kind of things make us restless. And we really can't doze off or we can't fall asleep. To doze really is not sleeping so much, but it's just a short nap, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are probably familiar with this experience where you know you need sleep, and so you're lying in bed, but you're worrying about things that either have happened the day before or that are going to happen the next day.
So that can be overstressed, overloaded. All of these overs are not very good. But that's what we're going to talk about, what we can do about these things. And we'll talk about some solutions maybe that we might have or things you've done. Have you ever had anything keep you awake at night just because you're thinking about it?
I think I could probably check off the boxes on everything on this list at one time or another.
What about you, Linda?
Yes, I'm with Simon here.
So you two can help me talk about this because it's, you know, but sometimes I think I'm overworked, but it still doesn't keep me from sleeping. So let's find out what the rest of this talks about. Let's finish the rest of these overs here and read down to the bottom of this column.
We are overworked. Longer hours, night shifts incompatible with our biological clocks, and overweight. Perhaps a chicken or egg deal, as different studies have found that one leads to the other. And then there's societal pressure, what nationally recognized sleep expert Dr. Mark Malwald calls the pervasive, erroneous attitude that sleep is not a biological imperative, that it is negotiable. We have raised sleep deprivation to a badge of honor.
So sometimes when people work not only overtime, but you take your work home, like some of us do, or if people are on night shifts, maybe they get off work at midnight, and then they go home and they have a hard time sleeping. Or maybe they work all night and they have to go to sleep at 6 in the morning and they have a hard time sleeping. So those people do have a problem, don't they?
Right. I think especially like of nurses or doctors that are on the night shift and or people that are working a night shift wherever they are, it's difficult. You have to change your biological clock.
Well, this is incompatible, so it does not work together with, it doesn't fit in with the way we're made. What are our biological clocks anyway?
Well, that term is a very interesting one. It refers to sort of the natural timing our bodies have. So the ways our bodies know that it's time to eat or it's time to sleep or it's time to, you know, get up in the morning, those mm-hmm. things. And when we have all of these other things in our lives, all of these extra overs, sometimes our bodies aren't able to run along that natural cycle, I guess.
Okay. And then it goes on to mention some other ones here. Overweight, the chicken or egg deal. Can you talk about that? That's pretty common expression that we use.
Yes, this is a very common expression to talk about cause and effect. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And so what they're talking about are these things the cause or are the effect? Like is the overweight, being overweight, there's a lot of talk about this now because you are not getting, people are not getting enough sleep, so they're becoming more overweight. I think that's really interesting. So is it being overweight that's causing you not to sleep or is it being overworked that's causing you not to sleep to become overweight? It's which is causing which? That's
well,
the chicken
say,
or the egg.
What if you can't sleep? You might eat something.
Right.
So that could cause you to be overweight. Mm-hmm. I can't sleep, so I'll just go eat something. But that might keep you more awake. It might make you more active and give you more energy. So probably you shouldn't do that. I've heard you should take a hot bath and you can go right to sleep. Have you ever tried that?
Well, I'm more of a shower person.
I know, but just sitting in the hot bathtub could make you get sleepy. Try it sometime.
I don't have a bathtub, Doris.
See? That's your problem. You guys need bathtubs, you know?
I have a bathtub. I just am in too much of a hurry.
But those are little things that people do try. But then there's another thing here that's called societal pressure. Now, that's quite an interesting term. Sounds like sort of some kind of an expression you wouldn't use very often.
That's right. Well, societal means it refers to society or the people around us. And so basically societal pressure just means the pressure we feel or the pressure we are given from the people around us, maybe our friends or our coworkers or our classmates. Maybe they're pressuring us to do something that we wouldn't necessarily do otherwise.
Can you think of any instances that might be societal pressure?
You mean regarding sleep? Well, there's certain behaviors. You know, we are pressured by society to look a certain way, to act a certain way, to deal with problems a certain way, to spend our money a certain way. There is a lot of subtle societal pressure. And I think probably this is more subtle. That's kind of like that perceived expectation, you know?
Okay. So there's too much required of us instead of just being our normal, natural self. Mm-hmm. So we worry about some of these things, and it keeps us from sleeping at night. And this professor, this Dr. Mark Mahold, he calls this the pervasive erroneous attitude. Those are big words there. Can you explain some of those, Linda?
Sure. Let's look at the word pervasive. It sounds a lot like persuasive. Remember, persuasive means trying to convince somebody to do something, and pervasive means it's everywhere. So maybe if you're baking bread, if a bakery is baking bread and you walk by, the smell is pervasive. It's all throughout the area.
Hmm.
And then we have the word erroneous. Simon, why don't you tell us about that one?
Well, the root word of erroneous is the word error. And so erroneous just means mistakes or mistaken attitude in this case. And so our Dr. Mark Mahalwald, he's just saying that this mistaken attitude is found everywhere. And what is that mistaken attitude that we find everywhere? It's that sleep is not a biological imperative. And what does that mean?
Well, I think that's a very difficult way to say that sleep is not something that we actually need. He says that's mistaken. We do need it. We say, well, I don't need much sleep. I've said that myself sometimes, but, you know, it's not a biological imperative. I don't have to have that much sleep. Why do we have to sleep so much? Have you ever heard that?
Yes, I have. I don't need that much sleep, so.
And we think that sleep is negotiable, that I can just do this and do that, but we can't. We do need it.
Right,
I'm telling
it catches
to
up
to
with
myself,
you.
Yes.
You're saying that to yourself?
I'm saying it to myself. I do need sleep. Okay.
So the second part of this is that that we believe it's not a biological imperative and that it is negotiable means, yeah, I can just, okay, tonight I only need 4 hours.
And sometimes students do that because they're studying and they think, well, I better get at least 4 hours or 5 hours sleep. But you shouldn't do that. You're not supposed to negotiate with yourself and say, I don't need the sleep. You're supposed to say, I do need the sleep.
It catches up with you.
Catches up with you.
And it goes on to say, we have raised sleep deprivation to a badge of honor. This is an interesting sentence. So sleep, if you deprivation comes from the verb deprive, means you don't get it, okay? So sleep deprivation means you don't have enough sleep, and we've raised it or made it into a badge of honor. Do you think it's a badge of honor, Simon?
Well, that whole term badge of honor is interesting, too. Usually when you think of soldiers winning a medal, like M-E-D-A-L, you know, for something very brave they have done in a war, we would say they deserve honor. And so we give them an award to recognize that honor, that badge of honor is the award they receive. And so you can almost imagine here, you know, school children, one of them says, I didn't go to bed until 10:30 last night. And the next one says, I didn't go to bed until 11:30 last night, right?
And that's supposed to be something they're proud of.
And it's something mm-hmm. they're proud of, that they haven't slept enough.
Or I only need 6 hours sleep, and somebody else says, I need 8 hours. What's wrong with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I only need so much. But you can't say that, according to this man, right?
Right. This is a very good example of that societal pressure.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, we were talking about that earlier. Very good example.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, this whole paragraph here is talking about society gives us a certain amount of pressure. And we think, well, we don't really need this much sleep. Let's get less. But we can't do that because we do need the sleep, right?
And the problem with that is that it's everywhere. You know, I mean, people are believing it.
It's pervasive. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. Okay. So we got through that harder paragraph. Now let's go to something a little easier. The next paragraph is talking about some of the problems that we have. So let's read the second part of our lesson.
Problems. The effects might outnumber the causes and are hardly as benign as many of us might think. Any degree of sleep deprivation will impair performance, behind the wheel, in the classroom, or workplace, Malwald said. He added that the Bhopal, Challenger, Exxon Valdez, and Three Mile Island disasters all are officially attributed to problems from sleep deprivation. But the biggest risk of sleep deprivation is car crashes, period. No wonder the number of accredited sleep centers has risen nationwide by 630% in just 15 years. And while sleep study results have been all over the map and sometimes contradictory, experts such as local doctors Malwald and Michael Schmitz know a lot more than researchers did even a decade ago.
So the effects of going without sleep, it says, outnumber the causes and are hardly as benign. And what does that actually mean?
Benign actually means it's not harmful.
Okay.
And so here we just listed all of these different causes of sleep problems. And yet we're hearing that there might actually be more negative effects than there actually are causes.
So we say it doesn't really matter. But here it says it does. What does it go on to say there?
It's very interesting. It says any degree of sleep deprivation. So no matter how much sleep you are lacking will impair performance. And impair here means will hinder, okay, or make your performance worse. Where? Behind the wheel. So that means when you're driving and in the classroom or workplace.
So you think that you're good at what you do, but you might be better because you get more sleep. So you are impairing your work. And behind the wheel is a very scary one.
Yeah, it means people maybe are falling asleep or not paying attention while they're driving.
And that's one of the problems that many times accidents are caused in every country by people who go asleep at the wheel. Isn't that right?
That's one of the major causes of car accidents. I was very surprised to read that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And this is actually a very interesting idea because often we think if we have a school project or something at work, that if we stay up later, we'll have more time to work on it and so we will perform better. But what is being suggested here is that maybe by staying up later, we're actually damaging our ability to do a good job on the project.
We might not do as well in the classroom.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's hard for students to think of that because they have so much to do and they think I'll just work on it later at night. But then it really is affecting the quality of what they do.
Right.
So this is kind of telling us the importance of sleep. It's not just saying, do you have a problem sleeping? But if you don't get enough sleep, it's going to affect a lot of different things. It could be dangerous. You might not do your job as well, or you might not be able to study as well. So I think that's a very important point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think we really need to take this seriously, especially, we live in a fast-paced world, especially if you live in a city. There's always some action, always something to do. Work is more demanding. School is more demanding. So we put off what we feel is, what is negotiable. And what this doctor is saying is that sleep is not negotiable. You need it.
Well, the next paragraph really surprised me that I did not know that these big disasters that we've probably all read about, you might mention something about that, but they are officially attributed to problems from people not getting enough sleep.
That's right. These disasters actually happened quite a while ago, so I'm not sure if people really remember.
Right.
The Bhopal disaster was a disaster in a place called Bhopal, India. It was an accident that happened at a chemical plant and ended up killing a lot of different people, making a lot of people sick. The Challenger disaster refers to the space shuttle Challenger that blew up when it was trying to take off.
Did you know that that had anything to do with somebody not getting enough sleep?
No, I
didn't.
No.
That's really terrible.
That's right. And the third one there, the Exxon Valdez, was a giant oil tanker that basically ran into the land and spilled its oil.
So the people, that's where the captains maybe had a little bit of problem. I could see that one.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, and Three Mile Island. I almost forgot that one. You two are Americans, so you'll be more familiar with that than I am.
The nuclear disaster in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still affecting the world today, you know, the area around it.
And officially, they say that these are probably caused because of somebody didn't do their job well enough, maybe sleep deprivation. This is interesting, isn't it?
Very. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That was quite new to me to think that had anything to do with those terrible disasters. But it says that, you know, of course, the biggest risk is this car crashes, and so many car crashes. People just doze off for a minute and, of course, crash. We see this all the time.
I've done that before.
Right.
When driving a long distance and you want to get somewhere and you only have, three more hours to go, I've awakened on the side of the road driving almost into the ditch. So it's really frightening. And I think to emphasize this point, but the biggest risk of sleep deprivation is car crashes, period. That means there's no question about it.
So to close it up today, remember that all over the state, it says all over the map over here in line 23, wherever you go, some of these reports are not that clear, some are contradictory, they may not have been that, but experts say that they're doing more and more research and they're finding out that a lot of these things are accredited to sleep disasters. So they're trying to do something about it now. And we'll talk about it more tomorrow because our time's up for today. So come back and get a good night's sleep before you come to class. We'll see you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.